You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
So this morning I'm talking about the table of His goodness. And this morning I want to look at Psalm 23, a very, very well-known psalm. But I just want to look at some particular scriptures from that, particular verses from that psalm. And the psalm starts in verse 1 with letting us know that God is our shepherd and He is with us all the time. You know, a shepherd looks after the sheep, he cares for the sheep, and he doesn't leave them alone. He leads, he guides, and he protects. And that is why we are reminded this morning that the Lord is our shepherd, because He leads and He guides and He protects us. And in verse 2, it says, He causes us to rest. Rest that comes from the Spirit of God. He makes us lie down in green pastures, not dirt, not weeds, not shrubs, not dirt that has been sprayed by a can of green spray, but green pastures. There are times when we just need His rest. There are times where we just need His peace. Sometimes we feel like we may not have the time to rest. Or maybe we feel ashamed that we just don't have the strength to keep going, and we don't want others to see that. But this morning, He makes us lie down. Some of us here this morning may be needing the rest that comes from God. The Holy Spirit bringing His quiet into our emotions, into our hearts, and into our minds. My situation has worn me out. My job has just been so busy. My children have been struggling. My relationships have worn me down. Like we heard with Carrie this morning in her situation, that she felt like the sickness was relentless. And this morning God is saying, I am going to bring you rest. I'm going to cause you to lay down in the place that I have just for you. Because He knows you intimately. He knows everyone in here intimately. And He knows the rest that you need this morning. Is it rest from your job? Is it rest from your family? And I don't mean that disrespectfully. But is it rest from sickness? Is it rest from the circumstances that you find yourself in? God is drawing you aside, causing you to rest in a place that is safe. And you know what? It is supernatural. It is spiritual. It is rest that connects with your spirit and comes out of your spirit and then affects your emotions. It affects your mind and affects where you're at so that you feel the calm and the peace from the Holy Ghost. If you need rest this morning, it is there for you. In verse 2, He causes me to lie down because I need rest. He makes us lie down. His peace that is surpasses all understanding because it's connecting with who we are in our spirit and it comes out to cause rest. He shows us where to drink when we are thirsty and needing refreshing in a safe place. A shepherd won't lead the sheep to a rapidly flowing river because it's dangerous and it's loud and it causes the sheep to be frightened. So they are led to still waters that are running and fresh but not going to cause them distress. He leads us to a safe place to be refreshed, not to be distressed, but to be refreshed. It is a stream that is flowing with rivers of living water. Rivers of living water bubbling up in our spirits to cause refreshing to our hearts, our minds, and our emotions this morning. He leads and He guides us because He is the shepherd and He is a good God. He leads and He restores. He is going in front of us, leading the way. So it's not like I'm walking by myself and looking back, where's He leading me? Oh, do I take this step here? Do I go this way or that way? He leads us. I follow him. And I don't know then which way I'd step, if I need to go up or if I need to go down, because he is leading and guiding us today. He did this with the children of Israel. His presence led them by day and led them by night. There was never any confusion of where they were to go, because they knew that they were constantly led by God and his presence. If this morning you are not sure where you are going, let me encourage you. The Good Shepherd is leading and he is guiding you. He is with you every step of the way. You don't need to be confused. He is with you and leading you and guiding you. Then we have verse 3, walking through the valley. Psalm 23 verse 4, and it says this: "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me." And the NLT says it like this: "Even when I walk through the darkest valleys, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me." You know, there will be times when we will walk through a valley. We will find times we walk through difficulties and experience downright hardship. We will have times when we say to ourselves, "I didn't sign up for this." And during these times, because of the shadows, we will find ourselves not being able to see clearly. These times of walking through the valley can seem uncertain. Which way do we go? Which way do we turn? Shadows can make you see things that are not there, or they will try to make sense out of shadows, and it can be difficult. A shadow comes between the light and blocks it. A shadow is an image, a shape, or an impression. During these times of hardship and difficulty, we may at times wonder, "Lord God, where are you in this situation that I'm facing? I need answers. I need direction, but I can't see clearly." You know, the enemy wants you to see the shadows this way. The enemy wants you to see the shadows, these times that you're going through, as God not being near you or not caring. He wants you to feel the stress. He wants you to feel the anxiety. He wants you to feel the pain. You know, remember, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to steal your peace. He wants to destroy your relationships. Make no mistake about it, he wants to destroy your relationships. He wants to distort the truth. He wants to heap accusations against you. He wants situations and things you hear that you hear to be blown out of proportion and seem so much bigger than what they really are. This is the enemy who distorts the truth in our life. He doesn't want us to believe and be reassured during these times that God's word and truth will help us. Did God really say that? He wants you to believe his roar, the lies that he yells at you. This is what he tries to do. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've got good truth for you this morning. The enemy tries to distort the way so that we can't see clearly the path that we are walking on. But this morning, God doesn't want us to see the shadows this way, because God is not like that at all. During these times, God wants us to see the shadows as the shadow of his protection, the shadow of who he is, that he is with you, behind you, and in front of you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. In Psalm 57 verse 1, it says this: "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed me." The shadow of his protection, that's what he wants you to see this morning, because we can rest in his protection and his presence. In Psalm 91 verse 1, it says this: "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." The shadow of who he is in our lives, his peace, his refuge, and his protection. When we were kids, we used to go to our auntie and uncle's place. And if it was getting late at night, mum and dad would say, "Okay, you girls can go down and have a sleep." So we'd go into this particular room, and in the corner was a big double bass. Does everyone know what a big double bass is? And when the lights were turned off, I could just see the shadow of this big double bass in the corner, and it used to freak me out. I used to think, oh, I hate that thing because the darkness distorted what it was. But let me tell you, when my mum or my dad came in and they flicked that switch and the light went on, I saw that shadow for what it was, just a musical instrument. And this morning, the devil will try and make you see things that are not there. He will try and make you see things that is bigger than what it is. But when the light of God's grace, of God's mercy, of God's love and God's goodness shines his light in your situation, you see it for what it was, what it really is. It's just a roar. It's just a small roar. Because we've got the Lion of the tribe of Judah backing us, leading us, with us every step of the way. Don't let the enemy allow you to think what you're seeing is really something that it's not. Allow the light of God's goodness to shine, and so you can see really what is going on. Because God is with you, excuse me, and God loves you. Amen. Amen. If you're feeling overwhelmed right now, God is shining his light into our valleys so we can focus and see clearly. See the path he's laying out for us to continue walking on. And be encouraged, we are just walking through. We're not setting up camp, we are just walking through. What did Jesus do for the blind man in Mark 8:22-25? After he had spit on his eyes and laid hands on him, he asked the man, "Can you see anything now?" And the man looked around. "Yes," he said, "I see people, but I can't see them very clearly. They look like trees walking around." Then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were opened. His sight was completely restored, and he could see everything clearly. Jesus didn't leave the man until his eyesight was completely restored. And that's the God that we worship this morning. He won't leave us during these valley experiences without seeing properly. If you feel like you are in a valley and can't see properly, be assured that God doesn't want you to stay that way. He wants you to see clearly, see his perspectives clearly, see the path out of your wilderness clearly this morning. And in Psalm 97, verse 5, it says this: "Mountains melt away like wax in a fire when the Lord of the earth draws near. In his presence we will find comfort and peace, and those shadows will melt away in his presence." The next scripture I want to look at from Psalm 23 is Psalm 23, verse 5. And it says this: "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." You know, God prepares a table for each one of us. No matter what situation or circumstances we find ourselves in, even with the enemy surrounding us, knocking at the door, trying to get in, God prepares a table for you and I. And I imagine the table being the same size as Pastor Lee and Pastor Naomi's table, dining room table in their house that seats so many people. That's the table that I imagine that God has prepared for each one of us. The table is one of plenty, not lack. He has prepared the table. He has put thought into it. And this is not a haphazard thrown together meal like I would do. This is planned, this is thought out, this is personal, this is just for you. This is intentional, it is powerful, and is what you need right now, because his ways are perfect and his promises are perfect, and yes and amen. What do you need from the table that he has prepared for you? If the enemy has been trying to rob your peace, then on the table is peace for you. If you are needing answers, then on the table is strategies personable for you. If you're needing direction, then on the table is the way out of your wilderness, because he makes a way out of our wildernesses. We can spend time at the table taking God's goodness and his benefits for our lives. If we look at Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5, it talks about his benefits in our lives. It says, let all that I am praise the Lord with my whole heart. I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he has done for me. He forgives me of all my sins. He heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The enemy is trying to surround me, but I will praise the Lord for his loving kindness and tender mercies. I will declare his benefits in my life because he has prepared a table for me and he has prepared a table for you this morning. You know, what happened when David found himself face to face with the enemy? In 1 Samuel 17, the Israelites find themselves facing the Philistines in a battle. I'm sure you know where I'm going. The Philistines had their champion Goliath go out every morning and every night and yell to the Israelites. Now, he was the giant and an extremely imposing sight to behold. Even his armor was an imposing sight to behold. The men would assemble, the children of Israel would assemble and hear the taunts of Goliath and would run in fear. They were terrified of him. And one day, David, under the instructions of his dad, he said, just go and take these meals to your brothers and see what's going on. He happened to rock up this one particular time when Goliath came out and was yelling out to the armies of Israel. And by the time that David had arrived, this had been going on for 40 days and 40 nights. You know, what is our response when the enemy is saying things to us? What do you do when the giant of sickness keeps yelling at you? What do you do when anxiety keeps yelling at you? What do you do when your past keeps coming back to try and taunt you? What do you do when the bad report just won't go away? What do you do when the enemy keeps prowling up and down and roaring, trying to stare you down? Trying to keep you downtrodden, trying to keep you in fear, so you won't step out in faith. Trying to keep you intimidated so you don't rise up in the authority and the power that is living and dwelling and breathing inside of you. Fear is not from God. It's not a position to stay in. It's not our state to stay in. That is not our position, no matter what the report says, no matter what the situation is, no matter what the enemy shouts at you. Because he thinks he's got you. He thinks he's got your family. He thinks he's got your health. He thinks he's got your mind. But he wants you to think this. David needed something from the table that God had prepared for him. What did he take from the table? I'm sure he took a lot of things, but I'm just going to point out a few. He took strength and he took courage. He took the reassurance that he knew who he was and he knew who had him. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. David took from the table God's strategy and perspective. In the natural, he knew that he couldn't fight Goliath in hand-to-hand combat. So when he drew up to Goliath, he made sure there was a distance between them because he knew he needed God's perspective and God's strategy to defeat him. Because in his natural state of hand-to-hand combat, it wouldn't have worked. But he knew what was in his hand, and he knew he was good with a sling. So he went with that and the might and the power of the living God with him. Supernaturally, he knew God was with him and that he came in the name of the Lord, the God of the army. What would David say to us when facing the roar of the enemy? We find the answer in verse 4. I will fear no evil. I want you to say that with me this morning. I will fear no evil. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I will fear no evil this morning. And I believe David would encourage us with that word, that you do not need to fear. You do not need to feel like the enemy is roaring at you. You do not need to fear, because greater is he that is in me than he that it is in the world. And this is personal. This is up to each one of us to declare the truth. I know it's true. And I encourage you to believe it to be true and to say it too. I will fear no evil. I will not fear this morning. What happened when Hannah found herself being provoked? If we look at Hannah in 1 Samuel 1, it says, Hannah wanted a child and she was desperate to have a child, but for many years she hadn't been able to. Elkanah, her husband, loved her, but there was someone in her life called Peninnah that would provoke Hannah because of her barrenness. This was a very cruel thing to do, but it didn't stop her from doing this to Hannah. And in 1 Samuel 1:6 it says this, and her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. You know, Peninnah wasn't moved by Hannah's distress, her grief, her tears, her sadness. It wasn't like she thought, oops, I better stop this. I can see that I'm actually upsetting Hannah right now. In fact, she kept going. I think she enjoyed it because she had no empathy for Hannah. The enemy enjoys seeing us distressed and grief-stricken. He is not moved by our emotions. In fact, he wants us to keep operating out of our emotions rather than the truth, because he wants us to make bad decisions or bad choices. He has no empathy for us. He is not moved by what we're going through. He is not moved by our tears. He is not moved by our distress this morning. He is not moved by things, because he is the enemy. What do you do when the enemy provokes us? How do we handle the taunts of the enemy? You look foolish declaring your breakthrough when it hasn't even happened. You think you can have a child when what after the doctor has said to you? Come on, your family situation can't be fixed. Who do you think you are? The lies of the enemy try to throw us, but God always has the truth for us to declare. Aren't you glad this morning that God has the truth for us to declare, to nullify the lies and the taunts of the enemy? He wants us to be fearful, but what does it say in the Word of God? We need to believe what God has said, that he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of... Oh, you guys are good. You can all get a coffee after the service. We will not fear, because he has given us, I won't be buying it. He gives us love, power, and a sound mind. When the enemy says to you, how can that happen in your life? Do you really think this can change for you? And he tries to bring that fear and intimidation, you stand up. You rise up in who you are. You rise up in who has you this morning. And you declare with the authority that has been placed in your life, that is in your spirit, you rise up and you roar back at the enemy and say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I will not fear, because God has given me a love, power, and a sound mind. I will not be anxious, because I am casting my cares on the God who cares for me. I am laying down these things. I'm laying down the distress. I'm laying down what the enemy's trying to throw at me, and instead I rise up in the power and the authority of Almighty God, who has you, who has me, who wraps us in his mantle, who wraps us in his protection, who wraps us in his presence this morning. He has you. He has you. And it's time for us to rise up. I'm not saying we haven't done it before, but we need to start silencing the strategies and the provoking and the taunts of the enemy in the name of Jesus. I refuse to listen to what you're saying. Yes, the doctor's report may be this, but I know a God who heals. I know the miracle, the doctor's report saying this, but I know a God who is a God of the breakthrough. I know my family is looking like this, but you know what? I've been given a glimpse of what my family can look like, and I am standing on your word. I am standing on your promise, because it's who you are. Whatever you are needing from this morning from God, it's for you. Believe it. You know, it says that the enemy is roaring like a lion, seeking who he can devour. We're not going to be people that he can seek this morning. It says he is seeking, which means he may be trying to find someone, but he's not finding it from these people, from us this morning. We're not giving him the opportunity this morning to seek us. We're not giving him the opportunity because we are rising up in the power and the authority that God has given us this morning. He's not going to find us because we're not going to allow his roar to penetrate our emotions and our minds this morning. We're not going to allow his roar to affect our family. We're not going to allow his roar to affect the direction that God has placed us in, and we're going to keep going because we're just walking through the valley. We're not staying put. We are walking through the valley. We may hear the roars. We may see the shadows, but we know who has got us, and we're walking. We're walking. If I could get you to stand up right now and start walking, I'd get you to do it. We are walking. We are walking. We are walking. We are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but we are not fearing no evil because your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You are with us, mighty God. You are with us, Holy Spirit. We declare sickness to be downtrodden in the name of Jesus. We declare breakthrough in the name of Jesus. There are families in here right now that need to see breakthrough, and we declare it in the name of Jesus. We declare it with the authority that God has given us. We are walking through. We are walking through. Families of the living God, we are just walking through this morning because we know who's got us. 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 It is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he is roaring back at the enemy right now on your behalf. He is saying, distress, be gone in the name of Jesus. And I declare that over the families right now. In the name of Jesus, distress, be gone. Because the King of Kings, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, is now roaring back at the enemy on your behalf. Enough is enough. Take your hand off my family in the name of Jesus. Take your hand off my body in the name of Jesus. Take your hand off my mind in the name of Jesus. Take your hand off my emotions in the name of Jesus. I know who's got us. I know who's got us. I know who's got us. I may look like I'm surrounded, but we are surrounded by the living host this morning. We're surrounded by the King of Kings this morning. We are surrounded by the power, the authority, and the might of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. We're roaring back now at that sickness with the power and the authority that has been given to us. We are roaring back at that barrenness in the name of Jesus and saying, I know who's got us. We're roaring back at confinement right now in the name of Jesus because we know who's got us. We're roaring back at those situations in our family because we know who's got us. Believe it this morning. Believe it this morning. The Holy Spirit has you. He loves and he cares for you. Open your eyes and see who is surrounding you this morning. What do you need this morning from the table that God has prepared for you? It is personal. It's specific. And it's for you this morning. It's a big table. It's a table where we can sit and we can feast on the goodness of God because he has you.